Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H time. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
And the 2-2 hit sharply right at Torkelson. And the Tigers hold on and win this one 3-1 as the Astros leave the bases loaded and all of Motown can exhale. Oh, what a game. And the Tigers lead this best of 3-1-0.
I'd say I feel like this team's been fighting elimination all year. We were 10 games back, so we know how to play with our back against the wall. You flush today, come back tomorrow, ready to go, ready to compete, and leave it all out in the field.
It's a fair point by Alex Bregman. They have been fighting elimination in a way most of the year. I mean, September they had a pretty comfortable lead. It's a fair point. It's a good prism to look at it through. Now, you had months and months to come back from 10 games. You got 9 innings today.
That's true. There was a much larger window of time, Sean.
9 innings today to save the season. And that was the final out yesterday. Frustrating ending to the game yesterday. That was Jason Hayward who hit that line drive that Michael Kay on the call there on ABC yesterday. So we welcome you in. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you on, we'll call it a reaction Wednesday because there's a lot to react to from this game. There's a lot to set up for today. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good. I used Alex Bregman's words of inspiration. He's been fighting gremlins himself.
He has.
This whole, you know, a lot of people have been done in by the gremlins in their elbow, but
not Breggy.
Breggy's out there. So is Scooble. Scooble was out there too.
Yeah.
It was, 5 pitches to take down Jose Altuve, Kyle Tucker, and Yordan Alvarez right at the beginning of the game. And you're like, well, okay, this is what it's going to be like, maybe.
Now,
they waited a little while to knock Scooble around. The last time
they got some guys. The last time the Astros faced him.
So obviously, Scooble had a vintage Scooble day. Probably why he's one of the very best pitchers in baseball.
Yep.
And Framber had what has turned into his normal playoff appearance these days. Yeah. He's just been. Were we whistling past the graveyard on Framber? Just assume like, oh yeah, that was just a glitch last year. He'll be fine.
No. A little bit because I after Framber got knocked out. The Astros lose 3-1 yesterday, by the way. I think most everybody knows that. Framber gave up 3 runs in the second inning, and that was it. That was all Detroit needed. And it wasn't a cheap 3 runs either.
Right.
Give Detroit credit. They worked. You know, they got on base any way they could. They worked Framber. I thought the 4-pitch walk he gave up to the second hitter in their lineup in the first inning was the canary in the coal mine a little bit. Gets an easy first out. Then he's nowhere near the plate on the 4 pitches to the second batter. And I'm like, okay. This is going to be one of those traffic-y Framber days, and it was. They drove in. They got 3 2-out RBIs, all sharply hit balls. Detroit earned this win yesterday. But, yeah, after Framber got knocked out in the 5th, I'm going, okay, this feels very familiar. And so I went to his game log, and going back to – I'll just go back to the 2021 postseason. I won't go – he pitched 4 games in the 2020 postseason. I'm not – the COVID year I'm just putting aside. So – and maybe this fits my narrative a little bit better, too, because he was actually decent in 2020. But since the 2021 postseason, Framber Valdez has now started 13 games. Only 5 of those games has he gone more than 5 innings.
Yeah.
Only 5 of them. Now, keep in mind, this guy was the quality start machine in 2022. So it's appropriate that 4 of those 5 came in the postseason in 2022 when the Astros went on to win their second World Series. But this is the guy that's treated like your ace right now.
Yeah.
And a vast majority of that. And by the way, when I say he hasn't gotten past 5 innings, there are several clunkers in there. I mean, last season was one of them. Like, you know, 12 innings, 13 runs given up. There were some clunkers back in 2021. So this has not been a guy in the postseason who you hand the ball to and go, all right, you know, wild card round. This is half of what we need to get done in this series. Here you go, Framber. Get it done.
I think there's something to it when we know it's not speculation or anything that he struggles with things emotionally sometimes.
Yes.
And this seems to be clearly one of those times.
Yeah.
He's didn't have the control yesterday early on, and it hurt him. And if they'd come out with a victory on this, I'd say thank goodness that Blanco exists. And
we talked about that yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we were talking
at
about
some
Blanco
point
saying,
when is Blanco going to perhaps come in as a piggyback guy? We didn't have to wait long.
Yeah, we said yesterday he's going to come in at some point in this postseason, and he's going to have to give you 2 or 3 really important innings. That day came yesterday.
Yes,
because Framber couldn't keep it together. So, and credit the whole bullpen. I mean, they brought in a bunch of guys. No idea why they used Josh Hader in the ninth inning of that
especially
game.
Especially when, and you're wondering, okay, well, who are they using the ninth and blah, blah, blah. And then they flash up that graphic that since 1990, teams are 1-538 when entering the ninth inning with a 3-plus run deficit.
Yeah.
So
could you believe that when you saw that?
No, I'm all
that's
no,
bananas.
It doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem possible.
One time in 3-plus decades has a team in the postseason come back
that's
from down
mistake,
3-plus
right?
runs. It might be. Boy, ESPN or ABC with their graphics yesterday were terrible.
Okay.
They were putting up they put up at the bottom of the screen the OPS batting average and number of home runs for each guy.
Yeah.
And there was a point in the game where they're posting them for Astro players. I'm like, that's just wrong. They had like Yordan's OPS this year as like 709 with a 254 average and 9 home runs. And I'm pausing it and looking at it. I'm like, that's not right.
Okay, good. So that stat couldn't have been possibly right.
Well,
that,
no. I don't know, man.
That's crazy. Like a 3-run deficit.
Botching Yordan's stats in a 5-second throwaway is different than botching a major stat like that.
If they botched Yordan's stats for like what should be the easiest stat to put up there, then I'm guessing
that
the crazy weird one was probably messed up too. Yeah. So we'll leave that aside.
Yeah.
One of our listeners, I'm sure, will correct us on it. Leaving that aside, I was surprised they used Hader. And it doesn't mean you're giving up or whatever if you don't use Hader. Oh. There's other relievers that are going to come in pivotal moments in this series. Yeah. It's just that, man, it seemed like an oddly aggressive move. And not futile necessarily. Obviously, the Astros were in a position to win that game. But,
and he pitched a clean inning.
Yeah,
and
he pitched
it
right. So I don't know. If they win that game, though, that's the test. All right, if the Astros win that game, are you still kind of curious about the decision to use Hader?
Yeah, but it's looked at differently. You know, if they went good job, Espada, making sure that you stayed within striking distance.
Yeah, all right. The fact that they were in position to win that game, I have to give them a pass on.
There were two decisions late in the game that I think caught at least a lot of question marks. One was Josh Hader coming in and pitching the ninth inning. In a game where you're down 3 runs and in a series where it's looking like it's 99.9% certain that you're going to need to play on Wednesday and Thursday.
Yeah.
So unless you boat race the Tigers in one or two of these games, you're going to need Josh Hader to come in and close things down in potentially today and hopefully tomorrow. The other decision was when they had runners on first and second with nobody out in the ninth inning. And they had Jeremy Peña bunt.
Yeah,
I saw some people saying, "Oh man, you know, swing the bat, try to keep the inning going." It was 3-1 at that point. I had no problem with that. Peña looked awful at the plate yesterday.
He looked awful at the plate, and then he laid down a beautiful bunt. And
the worst case scenario there, if he lays down a good bunt, is you've got second and third with one out, and there's a good chance Peña, even with them looking for the bunt, there's a chance Peña could beat it out.
Right. Yeah.
And there's a chance you get an errant throw.
Yeah.
Rolls down the right field line. Now the game's tied.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I was okay with that.
I was too.
I actually kind of get excited when I realized he was going to bunt.
You like bunts better than I do.
I do. I'm not like Joe Old School, want everybody to bunt all the time, but I do enjoy it. But I also like the Peña doing it because of that dynamic that he's... It's not like Yiner putting down a bunt or something.
Right.
He's got a chance to get on base.
Yeah, it could have been bases loaded, nobody out. Here was Joe Espada on the decision to have Peña bunt there.
Yes, you know, just trying to give our guys two shots to give us the lead. They are with Caratini, McCormick, and potentially Hayward. And you know, Caratini's gotten some big hits for us from the left side and also from the right side, but especially from the left side. You know, hit that ball pretty hard there to left, and then after that, McCormick reaches first, and then we are one swing away. I just want to give our team an opportunity there, second and third with one out, an opportunity to just get multiple runs there, try to keep us in the game.
Yeah, I thought Espada managed that inning really well. They lose the game, so ultimately it didn't work because the score is the score. But I thought Caratini's ball was going to drop. It had an expected batting average of over 600.
Yeah.
Jason Hayward hits a rocket shot to first base. I didn't have a big, like, oh, the God, because that had an expected, surprisingly, that had a lesser expected batting average than Caratini's looper he hit to left field.
Yeah.
Still, it was 570, the expected batting average on that line drive Hayward hit that we just heard Michael Kay call to end the game there. I didn't have a big, like, baseball gods are against this thing because Yiner's base hit and Bregman's base hits were total dribblers.
Little bloops. Those
in
are
that
kind
inning,
of
like,
those.
Rolling through the vacant infield.
Yeah,
you know?
Those are the ones Bagwell would tell you are the ones that win you games. And they almost did
they
yesterday.
Almost did,
right, yeah.
Yep.
I didn't realize it was a 570 expected batting.
For Jason Hayward's line drive, it was 570.
I was watching up here, and immediately after that game, I was like, all right, I'm leaving. And it was an exodus out of the building. The elevator ride took down immediately.
Oh, out of this, out of our building here, 24
it
Greenway,
was at like 4:30 or so or whatever. And I'm like, so man, what time do people usually leave work? Because all of a sudden at 4:30, we were stopping on every floor, just all these people getting in with angry or confused.
Everybody's
looks
watching
on their
the
faces.
Game in the building here. That's funny. That's funny. How are we feeling about today?
I feel good. I'm ready for Hunter Brown. I'm ready
too.
For Hunter Brown.
Yeah.
Hunter Brown is ready for this. You're going to get a bullpen day out of the Tigers. They're going to start with an opener, and then it's going to be a steady parade of guys that you're vaguely familiar with, and it's Hunter Brown versus the world.
Yep.
Hunter Brown versus everything the Tigers can throw at them.
Hunter Brown versus his home state.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I hope he hates that state.
Today.
Yes.
Yeah, today I hope he does for
Michigan.
Sure. Yeah. It's actually really pretty up there. I mean, other than certain parts of Detroit, it's actually very nice up there.
Well,
very
it's
pleasant.
Because never mind. I was going to make an inappropriate comment that somebody would think was political or something,
okay,
and then I just got a,
Did you watch the debate last
Censoring
night?
Myself.
Yeah.
Censoring myself.
Good job, Seth. Good job. The Astros lose 3-1. They are, we heard Bregman talk about it coming in. About, you know, we've been in basically the whole year's been an elimination game. They are 7-5 in elimination games since 2017. Now, three of those wins.
What about when they're at home?
I don't want to look.
It is. I hate living in a world where Astros fans are universally like, well, yeah, they were at home.
Yeah.
Of course they blew it yesterday.
They
of course they missed the opportunity. You want to talk about baseball gods or razor-thin margins or anything else like that?
Yeah.
It was just that, that Parker Meadows just beating out Peña's relay to first. In the
second inning. Yeah, they could have gotten out of the inning.
That ended up being that could have been a critical.
That was the gateway.
Yeah.
They got all their RBIs after that. It's the little thing. Tigers did the little things better yesterday. And man, was that a boring game from about the third inning through the eighth inning?
It was excruciating. It was so.
I fell asleep twice.
Oh man, I'm like, do I try to pay my bills right? No, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to focus.
Focus.
I think I could pay my bills at the same time.
Focus.
No, Seth, you don't have that ability to multitask at all.
Focus. All right, we'll circle back to the Astros. But this suffice it to say, this is a big one today. Hunter Brown trying to save the season. 132 first pitch. What's been the biggest surprise? I got asked this question on the Hutopia mailbag yesterday. What's been the biggest surprise 4 weeks in for our 3-1 Houston Texans? I've got a few candidates here, and I'll see if Seth wants to throw a couple logs on the fire on this one. We will get to that coming up next.